Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Letehan.
I'm trying to make a better effort of identifying what episode it is. This is episode 146. Thank you for joining us on the pod. You know, we've talked in the past, and you know how we feel about genres, right? Don't lock yourself into one, especially if you're an up-and-coming. Try to write all kinds of music, and remember that the song is the king, okay? Producers and artists, they're gonna put it into their style, and that's cool. But we also talked about how just a couple weeks ago, we had Scott Southworth, who's kind of a honky-tonk artist, and we love him. He had a new record out. We talked to him, and we were talking about the lack of traditional music on the pop country stations today. But we were also saying, and Scott mentioned, it's out there. If you look, it's out there in this digital age. There's a lot of great country music out there if you like the traditional stuff. And then a few weeks before that, we had the lovely Mary Kay Holt with us, who is in the International Western Music Association award winner, and she did some real Western kind of music for us. So, yeah, I mean, it's out there, and we're going to focus a little bit on, we have a guest today who is big in Texas radio, but also not unfamiliar with the Music Row charts here in Nashville. You live here in Nashville, and let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a great songwriter, a performer, and known just as much for his big smile as his music, right? Smiling Bob, as WSM called you, right? It's Bobby Marquez. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
How you doing?
Doing really good. Really good.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. Yeah. You're an amazing artist, and you've done some really cool things. Recognized by the Grammys, a CMA of Texas Award, the Academy of Western Artists, and induction into the Wheeling Jamboree. That's a big deal.
That was quite an honor a few years back. And, because even growing up when I was a kid, there was always a Grand Ole Opry, and I heard about the Louisiana Hayride.
Sure.
And I always heard about the Wheeling Jamboree. And, when they asked me to be a member of God, I was like a dream come true.
It
was awesome.
Pitch me, I'm dreaming.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're also an amazing songwriter. Now, you've had cuts by George Strait. Mm-hmm. And Alan Jackson, mm-hmm. This duet that you did with Rhonda Vincent, which got you an award and some Grammy notoriety, didn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the first songs that that I wrote when I first moved to Nashville.
Yeah,
and how long you been? Late '90s.
Late '90s.
Yeah,
okay.
Late '90s. I moved here early on, and I had a record deal on Arista Records.
Oh, great!
And Jerry Crutchfield was going to produce my new record.
Wow!
If people don't know who Jerry Crutchfield, he produced Tanya Tucker to Shenandoah to
absolutely.
All these great artists.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had. Came to Nashville and ended up getting a record. I played the Bluebird Cafe.
Awesome.
And a guy came up to me and gave me a business card. And I was like, God,
is this really easy
to get a record deal here in Nashville? Well, no, I came to know, it wasn't that easy to do. Anyway, so it started from there and went into the studio, recorded a few sides. And and then after that, Arista never released the album. They never did. So
what in the world?
Yeah, they never
They're
did.
Lost.
So I just started kind of doing my own thing here and there,
and
I ended up with another record deal on Sony, and then when the merger happened with RCA and
that
Sony,
that was just it for me
too on that one.
It cut everybody, some of
cut
my
everybody,
friends, yeah.
So I just said, I had heard a lot of things from a lot of artists, and even some of the legends in country music. They told me, say, Bobby, if you want to get things done in Nashville, you're just going to have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
It's a do-it-yourself world today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of started taking upon myself, and I went back into the studio. I had a song called She's Not From Texas that one of my great songwriting buddies, Karen Staley, who's written tons of songs.
I was at one of her signing parties. She's really
great,
cool.
She's great.
Yeah.
Well,
great writer. Yeah.
We were at a writing session early on when I was here in Nashville, and we were writing a song called That's Life, which is on my first album. And she said, I got a song for you. And she came in there and she had a little, that's when we had the little cassette tapes, you know?
Yeah.
So she put it in there. She says, listen to this song. And I listened to it and she goes, you liked it? And I just kind of thought for a minute. I go, wow, that's me. I can hear myself singing that song,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
And she said, well, would you like to have it or record it? We can go in and do a demo on it and everything else. And I said, well, you know, who wants to record it? Because you were telling me somebody wanted to record it. She said, well, Tracy Bird wants to record it. And I said, Karen, I'm not going to hold you to any money or anything like that. You know, yeah. If you can make money off that song, you go do it. She goes, no, I want you to have that song if you want it. And wow. God, can you believe that's how great of a person she is?
Yeah, she really is. Yeah.
We went into the studio and we ended up recording that song. And I knew a couple friends of mine in Texas that were some radio DJs down there. They started playing it. And all of a sudden, by the time you knew it, it was like 80-something radio stations in the state of Texas were playing it.
Charting on the Texas charts.
And I ended up having like a top 10 hit on the Texas chart with it.
And that's great. That is wonderful.
And it opened up my whole
And I want to talk about that. Like we always say, Texas is a whole other country. You've got your own country charts, and it's different, right?
It is. You know, it's different. It's a little bit different now because back then when I was on the chart, it was more for the independent artists. Now they're starting to let more of the bigger names on there, too. Sure. Which makes it a little bit hard for some more of the independent artists to get on the charts now.
Yeah.
But, the Texas chart, it's just like being on some of the billboards now.
Oh,
You know, the billboard charts.
Big time.
But, Texas has embraced me, you know, which is...
Well, you're from there, right?
I'm from a little town called Freer, Texas. Down south of San Antonio.
Okay.
I always tell everybody, if you blink... You'll miss the stoplight and you'll miss the little town.
I hear you.
A lot of rattlesnakes, deer, stuff down there. A lot of cactus. It's almost like you're in the desert, really, basically, you know.
Man, I have a rattlesnake story. I was playing golf in Arizona and a desert kind of course. And we hit one in the rough. And, of course, we were renting clubs and buying golf balls And I pulled mine off into the rough, and there's a ball, there's another ball, and for everything I got like six balls. I'm like, hey, dude, we're set for balls, my partner. I put him in the cart, and we were playing with locals there. We get up to the green, he goes, hey, find some balls out there. Yeah, man, I can't find some brand new balls. He goes, you know, when we hit them out there, we leave them out there. I go, really? I go, you know about our rattlesnakes, right? And all of a sudden, I'm not doing that again. All right. From rattlesnakes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they're dangerous. They're dangerous.
Oh, man. You know, hey, before we go any further, your lovely wife is with you. And I want to introduce folks to Jennifer.
My wife, Jennifer Heron.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well today.
Yes. Did I see you're in the Texas Music Hall of Fame?
Yes, she is. I was first woman DJ, and it surprised me.
Was that in San Antonio too?
It's up in Carthage, Texas, East Texas. They have a beautiful museum there. It's dedicated mainly to Tex Ritter because his cousin runs the museum.
Okay.
But it's quite impressive. So next time you're in East Texas, you know who's from Carthage?
No.
Jim Reeves.
Oh, Jim Reeves.
And Linda Davis.
Linda Davis.
Oh, we love Linda Davis.
So Linda Davis is a big flag bearer for the museum. Yeah. But they surprised me. I had worked a lot of years down in San Antonio and then up here in Nashville DJing. Mm-hmm. And
people know you here in this town, also for TV.
So it was just a really nice surprise, you know.
She's always bashful. She never really tell us where she worked. You know, she worked at Channel 4 for a long time, WSM. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because I've been in the business for a lot of years and I found people just think that you're normally extroverted because you're in that industry.
Right.
And it's not always the case. I mean, some of the shyest people I ever met were radio. But then you get behind a mic and boom, right?
Well, they thought it was weird, you know, when they said, we're going to induct you into this Hall of Fame and blah, 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 and you're going to have to give a speech. And I told Linda Davis, because we're friends with her, I had said... I'm really nervous about this. And she says, you're on the stage all the time talking.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, but when I got into this business, whether it was on TV or radio, I was interviewing people.
Yeah.
And I love to know about people.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I was a fly on the wall all the time. Even though I was asking the questions, I never felt like the spotlight was on me.
Yes.
But standing up there having to talk about yourself is really hard.
You are, I feel like.
You
are so right. That's a good point.
You can ask him. I was crying that night. I was like, I don't think I can do this. And everybody's like, you are crazy. But it's just.
But it turned out all
right. It's different.
It's weird, isn't it, Dave?
No, it really is. Because I think about myself, you know, I always like to write songs and sing. But to get in front of people and do that. oh, forget it. You know, people are staring at me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I had a lot of help from a mentor here in town that showed me, you know, here's what you do. This is the mic. This is how you do it.
Right. It's so different when singing you're caught up in the music
look
or the other person. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't
Absolutely.
Look at me.
There's a learning curve. Now, I also heard that you were one of the first disc jockeys to play Bobby on the radio.
Oh, gosh,
That's a
yes.
true story.
That's
true
actually, story. Yeah, how we met. I was at Very KKYX true. In South mm-hmm. Texas, which KKYX is like a WSM in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, they're heard all over the place.
Legend.
And he hit the station, and I was programming a hour we had in the evening called the Lone Star Hour.
Nice.
And it was independent artists, Texas regional artists.
I love it. I bet that was a popular show.
Oh my gosh. People went crazy for it. And you know, a lot of big stars were born out of that show. But he had dropped off the CD. And my program director said, hey, the guy that dropped this off, he's here. He's out in the area out here, you know, where the mailboxes were, you know, back in the day of faxes and memos.
Oh, yeah.
I'm aging myself. Okay.
No social media.
Yeah. No email. Okay.
Yeah.
So I went out there and there's only one guy standing there and I go, are you Bobby? And he goes, yes, I am. And I said, I'm going to play your song tonight. He had this. Oh,
his smile, right? Is that the first thing you...
Well, I noticed his little green eyes, his bright green eyes and that smile. But he told me, he said, which one are you going to play? And I said, I'm going to play this one called Blue Bonnet Baby because it captured his personality. It was so sweet and like an innocent love song, you know, just really sweet. And I played it and we got so many requests for it.
Nice.
And so he started playing shows across Texas and stuff and my boyfriend dumped me. And so...
Damn the luck.
Yes. Next thing you know, we had went to a Christmas party as friends together for the radio station and
We've been together ever since.
Ever since.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
This is so crazy. I used to get off work and I'd go and visit her inside the studio while she was on the air and I'd take her Chinese food every night and we'd eat Chinese food just sitting there. I'd just sit across from her and listen to her on the radio.
How about that?
And those good times.
Hey, what about the little letters? You remember the yellow notebook paper? Do they still make that?
Oh, no.
And he'd write me these little letters. Oh. You're my favorite DJ. I love you. And somebody told me down the hall at one of the other stations, you think he's trying to get more spin? For
Get more something, that's for sure, right?
He's an operator.
Yeah, he's a smooth operator, right? Well, that's awesome. Goodness. That is very cool, very cool. Now, you were talking about the Rhonda Vincent song, and I'm going to play it here, the recorded version.
Yeah.
And later on, like, you have to play music live around the dining room table in this podcast. You want to tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so around the time that I was writing That's Life and got pitched the song She's Not From Texas from Karen Staley, that's about the time that I wrote this song.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote it with Memory Job, who, if you remember, the producer, Jerry Cupid. Jerry Cupid had produced some stuff on Tim McGraw, Ken Mellons.
Ken Mellons.
George Jones did some stuff.
George Jones.
Well, that was his daughter. Memory Job was his daughter.
Oh, okay.
She's no longer with us now.
She
passed away a couple years ago of ovarian cancer. And it was a tragic thing. But we had wrote this song, you know, a few years back. And I had never in my life, I had never thought that this song would be a duet.
No.
But she kept telling me, Bobby, we need to do it as a duet. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't hear it. Well, she's the one that kept pushing it. And so she goes, let's go to my dad's studio. We'll record the song. So we did a duet together on it.
Wow.
And we pitched it to her dad. And her dad at the time was doing some stuff with Tim McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitched it to Tim McGraw, and Tim McGraw loved it, and so they put it on hold.
No.
Well, gosh, it was on hold for a very long time, so I couldn't pitch it to anybody, couldn't do anything with it. And then after time, you know, they end up not recording it or doing anything with it. So it had just been sitting there all these years. Well, when I come out fixing to come out with my new album on the Cowboy Way, you know, Jennifer had brought this up. She's like, you know, you need to do a duet on this album with somebody. Do you have anything in your repertoire of what you could do a duet? And I said, yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and I listened to that song and I just kept listening to it over and over and over in the demo I had. And I go, God, this is a great song. It does need to be recorded.
Mm.
And I kept thinking in my head, I was like, well, I don't know anybody who I could, you know, sing it with. And Jennifer had brought up the idea of maybe I should call Rhonda Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I didn't know Rhonda Vincent. She knew Rhonda Vincent. She said, let me make the phone call.
That's cool.
So she called Rhonda and Rhonda said, yeah, you know, send over the demo tape and everything. And, So I did, and she said, if I like it, you know, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. She listened to it, and she said, God, I love it. What a great song. She goes, count me in.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there going, wow, I'm going to be singing a duet with the great. Well, come to know that that's all great, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking we're going to go into the studio together to do this song.
Right.
That wasn't the case. Nope.
No.
She toured so much that she wasn't going to have any time to come into the studio where we could sing it together in the studio. Mm-hmm. So that was going to be a problem. So I kept thinking, gosh, we're never going to do this song. Well, you know, we went ahead and we started cutting the tracks. And then she calls me out of the blue when I was in the studio. And she says, hey, she goes, I'm over here in Missouri. I've got like 2 hours. Can you send me the rest of the master tracks now?
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, so we're scrambling trying to send the tracks and everything. And she gets the tracks and she ends up putting her vocals on it. Well, I was scared to death because I'm like, what if we get the tracks and our voices don't mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was really scared about that. Well, we got the tracks and we listened to them and everything. And then I started singing some scratch vocals on there. And I'm like, God, I don't know if it sounds any good. And the guys in the studio are going, this sounds fantastic. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, you know, I did my thing, you know. And then after I did my thing, they say, come on, come in here, listen to it. And I listened to the song and I was like, holy cow.
You loved it, huh?
I'm like, wow. Because Rhonda has one of those voices that it's amazing. A haunting voice, but she has so much emotion in it that she brought into the song.
Yeah.
And she has a voice where she can sing with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, she can sing with just anybody in the industry, and her voice sounds good. You know, it just mesh.
Mm.
And our voices sounded really, really good. So we end up recording it, put on the album, and all of a sudden, we end up getting consideration for a Grammy on it.
Wow.
That's cool. We also got nominated by the CMA of Texas and ended up winning the CMA of Texas Song of the Year.
Congrats. And, that's awesome.
But here's the deal with the Grammy thing. The Grammy thing was, you know, we ended up getting in the top 10, you know, of the final nominees.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there looking, you know, and I'm looking, I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, because of what they did, when we ended up putting the song in the category, it was supposed to be for the Americana.
Ah.
They had Americana category.
Okay.
But when we got the nomination back, it was like, oh, wow. They put me in with all the big dogs like Chris Stapleton and Ooh. Brad Paisley and Midland and all these people.
Whoa.
And I'm looking at him going, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to have a shot here because I'm the only independent artist in the top 10.
But that's still a big feather right in the cap, you know, right there. But, that's amazing.
But it was great because, like you said, you know, I was in the top 10 and I'm looking, I'm going, wow. This is how impactful this song is.
Yeah,
you know, it's not about me. It's not about Ron. It's about the song.
That's, you know, it's always about the song, I think. You know, that's always about the show.
Man, it just came out great, and people loved it. And, man, I couldn't be happier. And, you know, and Memory got to listen to the song before she passed.
Oh,
and she just fell apart. She was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
This is just, like, the best thing in the world. And, that's going to be – it was a great honor for me to –
That's awesome. Well, we have to hear it. For a while, duet with Rhonda Vincent and our guest, Bobby Marquez, Songwriter Connection Podcast.
You were here for a while, sharing your kiss and your smile. You could calm my heart with just one touch. That's one reason I love you so much. If I knew then what I know now, my pride would not keep me from the love we found. For a while, you were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while, you were here for a while. and your eyes made me love you even more. It almost felt like we had opened heaven's door. Now I regret we let each other go. There's no one who could save my soul for a while. You were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while, we had everything, you and me, but we took it all for granted. If we could only get it back. For a while, you were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while.
For a while. Ooh.
For a while.
That's our guest today, Bobby. Bobby, along with Rhonda Vincent, who is now officially a member of the Grand Ole Opry, and it's about time after about 5,000 performances, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's a great song. And now it's going right into my starred playlist on Spotify. That's just a gorgeous song.
Isn't that a great song? It always gives me goosebumps when Rhonda starts singing.
Oh, yeah, me too. That voice is just amazing. Now, you co-wrote that song, right?
I did, yeah.
Do you do a lot of co-writing?
You know, I do. You know, I used to try to co-write as much as I could, you know, when I first got to Nashville.
Yeah.
Because that was the one thing that I always thought was one of my weaknesses, was I wasn't always a very good writer. And when I got together with Karen Staley, you know, she kind of showed me a lot of the ropes and a lot of different ways of how to write.
Great mentor. And,
you know, because there's a lot of different things. It's not all about rhyming. There's connotation. There's just all different kinds of things that you can do. Yeah. But you have to make... You know, people want to visualize, you know, so and then they also, you got to put the emotion and everything into that song, you know, to make it real. But people want to hear real stuff.
I think so.
And that's what I write about. I write about real stuff, about real life.
Yeah.
You know.
And so do you think about imagery like that? Do you picture, like, when you're writing it, are you picturing the music video in your head?
Exactly.
Are you?
Yeah. You're exactly right. I do. You know, I actually do. A lot of my songs, I try to think about it that way. Or even some of the times, even performing live, like when I'm writing a song and it's coming out, I'm going, where can I stick this in my, oh, this would be a great opener. Oh. Or this would be a great closer, you know?
Yeah.
I always have that in my head, always thinking all the time. And I always thought, am I crazy for thinking that?
No.
You know, but Karen, you know, because she used to be signed to Warner Bros. She was an artist herself. She goes, no, Bobby, that's great that you think that way, because you know, especially if you're recording your own songs and you got to perform them live, you got to start thinking about that stuff, you know. But I never, when I came to Nashville, before I came to Nashville, you know, I used to do a lot of the dance halls, and then I was doing bigger shows. I went from like, it's the craziest thing,
because
I went from like doing dance halls and weddings and everything, and then I got in with Glenn Smith, who did all the productions for Garth Brooks, you know, the big concerts at Texas Stadium.
Wow.
He had heard me through another friend of mine. And so back then, they were always looking for opening artists to open up for the big artists on their tours.
Wow. And so opened for a lot of big artists.
Yeah. So I would have my band all the time, and we'd always perform for some of these 10,000, 5,000 people, you know?
Wow.
So I never got to really have intimate stuff with like a writer's rounds and stuff. So when I came to Nashville, you know, I was like, what's a writer's round?
I don't know what a writer's round is, you know? My wife just said the other day, why do they call it a round?
and it was different for me, because I was like, it's like, you know, like when you get the stage fright, I was having to sit down on my guitar and I'm looking at people going, I don't like this.
Too close.
This is too close to me. This is like personal. Now if I mess up or do something, they can hear me. Right, you know, they can hear me whether if I can really sing or not. Yeah. And it was scary for me having to do that. And but I learned, you know, like from some of the best folk songwriters and stuff. And I finally got over that fear. To where they're just kind of like, Bobby, just be yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
If you hit bad notes, who cares?
That's right.
Feel it. Feel
makes it more real.
Oh, dude, makes it more real,
yeah,
you know?
And
once I got over that, then I was starting able to do, I started doing songwriters rounds, you know, more in Nashville and stuff.
Oh, that's
and,
really cool. Yeah, I love doing that today.
And now I just, you know, that's one of my favorite things to do.
It is mine,
besides
too.
Singing with a band, you know, I love the whole thing, but
yeah.
If I can sit down with my guitar and just sing to somebody there or a small little crowd, I feel more home now.
And you know right away if it's working or not.
Exactly.
The song is
exactly.
Working.
That's exactly right. Especially like the Bluebird, you know, because we do a lot of stuff at the Bluebird.
Yeah.
Bluebird's one of the best places to go to.
It
you
is.
Can sit there and and people will hear you and you'll know, like some people start singing with and you go, wow, you know, this is great.
It's
they're
cool.
actually hearing this, you know?
Yeah. You know, Debbie Champion does that at the Commodore. If she likes your song, she'll pick up that mic, start singing with you. You know, you're, wow,
exactly.
That's your favorite song, yeah. Or she whistles or something, yeah. So I want to ask you, you started writing at a young age, like about 13.
Yeah, I was 13,
like,
yeah.
As soon as you get your first guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a story that I always tell everybody. So I was really close to one of my first cousins growing up. His name was Mark, and he's no longer with us either. He passed away about 4 years ago. Mm. But I would always go to his house all the time. We played football, baseball, all kinds of stuff. And one day I went over to his house, and I walked into his room, and he was sitting there, and he had a guitar, you know, that he had just bought, and he's sitting there trying to play it, and he was getting angry with it and banging on the guitar. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I just can't do this anymore. I'm tired of this guitar because I bought it, and I can't learn how to play it. And he goes, I'm just kind of – and so he put it over to the side. He goes, I don't want it anymore. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want it anymore? He goes, I don't want it. He actually went and grabbed it and threw it in the trash.
Are you kidding?
And I could not believe it. And so
that's guitar abuse.
Yeah, it's guitar abuse, you know. And I was like, you know, it was just one of those little Marquis guitars, you know, cheap one, like you can get like for 40, 50 bucks, you know, back then. And so I said, well, if you're not going to keep it, I said, can I have it? He says, I don't care. Take it. I took that guitar. I went home and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool, you know, because I'd listened to all my heroes growing up, listened on the radio and everything. And so a friend of mine had a little chord book, you know, and I would just sit there every day for at least an hour to sit there and play in the songs and try to learn everything from George Strait to George Jones, just everything and sing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then one day my mom walked in and she's like, oh my God, I didn't know you sang. I'm going, oh no, I do not sing. No. I'm just trying to learn how to play the guitar. Well, she didn't take that seriously what I said, because after a while, she kept telling the whole family and everybody all of a sudden, oh, Bobby sings and plays guitar. So when we had reunions, you know, my mom, oh, my son sings, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, get out your guitar.
Yeah.
So I'd sit there, you know, on the in front of everybody, you know, and just, you know, just we'd all sing songs together. And that's how it kind of started, too, you know. But I had that fright, you know, just like the songwriting things. I'm like, oh, gosh,
absolutely,
you know. Yeah. But, you know, the greatest feeling is like when you see other people singing with you and they're just kind of, you know, you're just kind of like, wow, this is cool, you know.
It is cool. Yeah, it is. Now, you mentioned your heroes, and I know that your family listened to a lot of country music when you were growing up. Yeah. Farron Young. Who are some other your heroes?
Yeah, Ernest Tubb.
Ernest Tubb, of course. Tubb. Texas Tubb, yeah.
Ray Price was him and Ray, Ernest Tubb were like my two biggest heroes.
Right, one of the smoothest voices.
My dad had always played their stuff. Johnny Rodriguez was another one.
Oh,
Freddie Fender. We had a lot of Freddie Fender at the house.
Love Freddie
Johnny
Fender.
Rodriguez. And,
yeah. For the next Merle
Haggard, Paul,
still
you know,
one of my all-time favorite
songs. Just everything. Bob Wills.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do a lot of Western swing in my shows, too, you know, that we do. And I try to mix it up. You know, I'm one of those songwriters that I don't stick to, like, one genre. Like, I'm just kind of a mixture of everything. I got cowboy music. I got Western swing.
See?
I've got traditional. I've got just everything, honky-tonk, you know.
What the crowd wants to hear.
It's just what I feel
when
I'm writing, too, you know, what's going to come out. Because I just listen to a big genre of people. The Eagles, I used to listen to, a big fan of the Eagles. You know, and I grew up listening to rock, too. I listened to a lot of rock music growing up, you know. And some of that stuff kind of, you know, edged over into some of my songs as well, too, you know, and songwriting and stuff, so.
This is why I preach this on the show. You know, it's good. All that stuff. Everybody always tells me Bobby Marquez.
Well, what kind of artist are you, Bobby? Are you? I know you're a country artist.
I hate that question.
And it is because it's kind of hard. It's kind of like, well, you know, I do this and I do that and I do this.
What kind of music you play?
Well, hopefully you can't really pinpoint what I do.
Hopefully, good music. You're going to judge that. Brother, you mentioned Ernest Tubb, and you did the Midnight Jamboree for a little while, didn't you, Jennifer? Did I see that?
Oh my God,
that must have been a blast.
I'm going to tell you, the first time I ever went there was with Bobby. He was playing with Jet Williams was hosting, and I met David McCormick that night. I was already over at WSM, and David McCormick was the owner for many years, the CEO.
Yeah.
And I told David, I said, if something ever happens and Carol Lee Cooper, because I just adored Carol Lee Cooper, I said, if she needs a night off or something, call me. Well, Carol Lee Cooper retired in 2004. David called me.
Wow.
And my first show was with the Osborne
Brothers. The Osborne Brothers. I remember that, too.
Oh, my gosh. Sonny.
And not the Brothers Osborne. The Osborne Brothers.
Right.
Sonny was a toot. He had me on my toes, and I love those guys. But
wow.
I was there 18 years.
Were you really?
18 years.
Oh,
and
I
have to tell you, I've become friends with all the Tubb kids and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the stories and the legends. I danced with Charlie Louvin on that stage. The stories.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuff. That meant, I don't know, I guess I'm strange. I'm so into the history and all those stories and those people. Those were some of the best moments of my life.
Well, you know, I can totally identify. I got to work at the Ryman for a couple of years.
Oh,
and I just loved working at the Ryman for the history and everything.
Yeah,
and just,
yes.
And I did the chores and I used to produce the records and they had a little studio that you can sing with.
Yes, I remember that. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
That was so fun. I was telling folks I can't remember who I was telling yesterday, but another songwriter saying he got to meet Vince Gill and what a great guy he was. And I'm like, I jammed with him.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I said, well, here's the story. I was in the recording booth and there's guitars there and Vince was on stage doing a sound check and I picked up one of the guitars in the studio and just started playing along. So I jammed with that cat.
You know. That's awesome.
I love it. There is truth in that statement.
That's true. It's a true story.
Well, you know,
it's
absolutely. True. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet.
You know, yeah. That's exactly right.
Oh my gosh.
How cool. You know, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, you're going to fire up that Yamaha guitar. You're going to play us a song or two, okay?
I will, absolutely.
All right, don't go away. Bobby Marquez is our guest.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
You know, talking about the legend, WSM, my friend Bill White worked there for a little. Did you know Bill? Because you worked at the FM, too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer,
yes.
Talking to you?
Yes. Yeah.
You know Bill? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know he's really close with Linda Davis as well.
Yes. Yeah. And you know when he came into the stations, everybody was like, Bill White is coming. And it was a big deal. He was so famous and won all these awards and everything. So
CMA awards.
And then he walks in and you're... I don't know. Does this sound bad? Like I'm judging people, but we thought, you know, because of all the hype, we were like, oh gosh, get ready. And the guy comes in and he's like, hey, how are you? And shaking everybody's hand. He is the nicest guy you will ever meet.
And a very talented songwriter. He's been on the show a couple times.
Oh, yeah. And he's funny, man.
He is.
We wrote a couple songs together.
Have you written
year
with him? Yeah.
For the first time, I finally got to write a couple songs with him. So, Brilliant. Yeah, so stay tuned for me and Bill doing some stuff.
That'd be great.
He wrote a couple funny ones. So.
Well, he's got away with that. But he also does some serious songs, too.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite songs that he wrote is talking about the radio face. Face for Radio. Have you heard that yet? No. Yeah, Face for Radio. Oh, it's a great song. It really, you would love it.
Oh, my gosh. He is a mess. He is so fun. Yes.
Really is. Country DJ Hall of Fame. So, yeah. Well, Bobby, play us a song and maybe one you wrote and tell us about it a little bit and how you wrote it.
I'm going to do a song called Neon Tan. This was a song that, it was one of the first songs too that I wrote when I moved to Nashville. I wrote it with Gerald Smith. Gerald was the Georgia Quacker.
Georgia Quacker.
Like, part of Noda, which I understand from Oregon.
Yeah. And the song I always love, the one he wrote about, you play like Chet. Yeah. I love it. No, I mean, Chet.
I remember that very
funny song.
Very vividly.
Yeah. Love him. He's a great guy. Yeah. Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. Anyway.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. But yeah, so we ended up writing this song, and, you know, we had pitched it around a few times, and, you know, we had a few holds from a lot of people, but nobody ended up recording. I said, God, this is a great song. It needs to be recorded. So I ended up, you know, doing something on it. And I also got to do a duet with Johnny Rodriguez that nobody's ever heard.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Yeah, I got that in a back little file.
That's
somewhere.
Not out there anymore? There's no way to pull that up, huh? No?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, man. There
you go. But I'll do it for you.
Okay, good.
Have some fun and get away. It must be 103 in the shade. You can bake in the sun, but as for me, that bar on the beach is where I'll be. Yeah, I'll be working on my neon tan. If you're wondering where I am, on my neon tan. Yeah. I won't have to worry about those UV rays burning my skin and peeling for days and days. No sand in my pants, no oil on my skin. Glow on my face, you'll know I've been. Yeah, I'll be working on my neon tan. If you're wondering where I am, I'm holding a cold one in my hand, working on my neon tan. Oh, while you're roasting, I'll be toasting 2-for-1 tequilas. While you're sweating, I'll be getting to know the senoritas. And working on my neon tan. If you're wondering where I am, holding a cold one in my hand. Working on my neon tan. Yeah, I'll be working on my neon tan. If you're wondering where I am, holding a cold one in my hand, working on my neon tan. With a tequila in my left hand, working on my neon tan. Yeah.
Is our guest, Songwriter Connection Podcast. And that's what makes our podcast different. We do the music live around this Duncan Fife antique dining room table, and you make it sound good, my friend. Good job. Awesome. I love that song. Working on the neon tan.
Great. It's one of my favorite songs to sing live. You know, I always, I had put that last in my repertoire for the night. Because I always thought it was one of those songs that at the very end, you can keep it going.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, you can keep it going and say bye to everybody and walk off the stage, you know, and the band's still playing and you can introduce the band, you know, and let them take some riffs and stuff. It's always a cool song.
Imagine you got people singing along with you.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great.
The other thing we share in common, you play baseball. You love baseball, don't you? Baseball fan?
Gosh, you know, baseball was actually my first love.
Was it really?
Yeah, mine besides too. Music, because music kind of, kind of just fell in my lap, basically, yeah. because I had always wanted to be a baseball player. I'd always wanted to be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And in high school, we won the state championship, and
wow.
you know, I was winning all these awards and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I was
always
having.
What position?
Well, I played a lot more catcher, but I played pitcher. I played wow. second base. I played wow. pretty much almost the whole field. yeah, it was kind of like wow. what my songwriting is. Yeah. All right,
no one
genre. Music. I did.
Yeah, that one position. That's cool.
But I had, you know, I was getting all these scouts and coming and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, you know.
Wow.
But I just never, I don't know. I mean, when I went to college and stuff, you know, I had just, things had changed and stuff, you know. And then, mm-hmm. You know, I had always played the guitar, you know. Like I said, when I was 13 years old, you know, I had always had yeah. that guitar and I always played it. But music was my first love. And, you know, and when I had the opportunity to move to Nashville, you know, I ended up taking it, you know, but there was one point where I had to make a decision because I had gotten a letter in the mail mm-hmm. and my brother always tells me to this day, he's like, oh gosh, you should have done this. You should have done that. But no, I had gotten this no letter regrets. To go play minor league baseball for the Seattle Mariners
wow.
in Denver, Colorado. And,
nice.
And I was like, well, do you want to go there? And I just kind of thought for a minute, I go, I don't know anybody. I'm going to be by myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I got cold feet, but I just kind of just went, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do it. And then I just kind of turned over here and I was, you know, looking at music and I just kind of fell into it, you know, and just kind of, I don't know. There was just something that was almost like a God thing telling me,
I guess
this is what you need to do, Bobby. This is what you need to do in life. And I just kind of went that way and then came to Nashville and then things just kind of took off fast for me. You know, it was crazy.
Kind of a calling. You just kind of knew that that's
real. Yeah, you just kind of knew and you just kind of just went, you know, that way. And, you know, and
it's funny how things work like that.
It is. It really is.
So I got to ask you, Rangers fan?
Oh, gosh.
Gotta be.
Yes.
Right? You must have loved
this. Rangers fans, and I was a huge Atlanta Brave fan.
Oh, yeah? Ooh,
up.
Wow.
Huge Atlanta Brave fan growing up, yeah.
That'd be a...
Del Murphy days, you know, oh, Del yeah. Murphy and all. Oh,
wouldn't gosh. You love to see a Braves and Rangers World Series?
Oh, gosh.
You had to love the World Series last year.
I'll buy a ticket for that one.
Yeah, me too. Well, I grew up in Ohio, so my favorite teams are the Indians, which are the Guardians, and the Reds. So
yeah,
I've always dreamed of that as a World Series.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So probably never happened in my lifetime. But how cool was the World Series this year?
Oh, huh? Gosh.
Man, you had to love that.
Oh, that was great.
Absolutely.
That was so cool, you know. Man, I mean, just to have two Texas teams, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, you had the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Was it the year before that they won the Super Bowl? Or was it the year before that?
I think it was the year before. I think it was the year
yeah,
before.
So yeah, so like it was like 2 out of 3 years, two Texas teams win it. And I'm like, wow, this is yeah. crazy.
Isn't
you know?
That nuts? The Houston Cheaters. Never mind.
It's like, come on, Dallas Cowboys.
It's
like, come on, Dallas Cowboys. What's going on?
Yeah, the Cowboys. What's wrong with the Cowboys, right? Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway. Hey, let's hear another song, and then there's other things I want to talk
yeah,
to you
yeah,
about.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
A song that you wrote, and tell us the story behind it. Mm-hmm. All about the story behind the song,
yeah,
as you know that.
Yeah. So I'm going to do this next song, too, and this is a song that that I wrote with Karen Staley. So I always tell the story about, you know, when COVID was going on and stuff, and everybody was bashing each other on Facebook and people were losing friendships over it, you know.
Yeah.
I just got to thinking, I'm like, my gosh, I went to Facebook one time and I saw that all this stuff that people were saying on Facebook. And I'm like, my goodness, I'm like, what is going on with this world?
I know.
You know, and so I just kind of slept on it that night. And I'll never forget it because I did pick up my Bible and I had opened the Bible and I was reading it. And I looked in this one verse and it was talking about the greatest gift that God could give us was love.
Yep.
And I just thought in my head, I'm like, you know, if we spoke more love to people and I, you know, we respect each other, that, you know, our world would be a better place.
Yeah.
And so I started writing the song and then I said, I got to call Karen Staley because I said, this would be a great, you know, thing to co-write with her, you know, after I got it going and stuff. And then she listened to it. She's like, oh, wow, this could be really cool. And I wanted to write something inspirational, you know, because I'm seeing my trajectory going to where I want to start writing more inspirational songs. I want to start getting into that thing, mm-hmm. you know, instead of, you know, a lot of negative songs, you know, and stuff like that. I want to get more into the inspirational thing. And this was one of the songs that, cool. you know, that we wrote. And
can't wait to hear it.
It was, it was the...
Americana Song of the Year.
Yeah, the Americana Song of the Year.
Awesome.
It was the Americana Song of the Year.
Wow.
Thank you. words have the power of life and death. Those you say out loud and under your breath. You can lift one up or cut one down. Be a joyful noise or an ugly sound. Whether you whisper or you shout, every time you open your mouth, think of the Lord above and speak love. Angry words can burn like flaming coals, destroying dreams and consuming souls. There are times a knife cuts so far through, no amount of I'm sorry's can undo. So no matter how you feel, you can choose to hurt or heal. Think of the Lord above and speak love. You can curse or find a way. Bless the blessless every day. Be gentle, kind, or sweet. Showing mercy, surrender, and peace. And when you think it's just too hard to do, just remember how he talks to you. It's not always simple or easily done to learn the art of biting your tongue. Your mind may think harsh things, no doubt, but you're in charge of what comes out. So if you want to practice what you preach, your fruit is what you speak. Think of the Lord above. Speak love. So be thankful for your Lord above and speak love. Your words have the power of life and death. Those you say out loud and under your breath.
Americana Song of the Year, Bobby Marquez. Yes, what a great song. I love hidden gems in song. The line that really stuck it, the art of biting your tongue.
The art of biting your tongue.
You know.
That was one of those famous lines that Karen put in there, you know.
Really. And it's a cool rhyme, too.
It is. It really is. And that's why I like writing with her, because she thinks outside the box. You know? But, you know, songwriting is one of those things, too, that, you know, if you're an artist, when you're writing a song, you have to be able to sing it, but be able, those words have to be able to flow out. They can't be awkward when you're singing it.
That's so true.
And that's one thing she taught me too, that when you're writing, you got to use words that you, because you're up there singing all night, you got to be able to.
So many times in a session, you know? I will go, can you just sing that for me? You know, really, I want to hear how it sings.
Oh, yeah. They got to come out smooth. You know, if they don't come out smooth and it sounds awkward.
It's a real good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I've listened to some great songs like over the years, and I'm going, God, this is such a fantastic song.
Yeah.
But this one line needs to be changed because it just doesn't sound good singing it.
Doesn't sing
it. You know?
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of that, you know. And sometimes, you know, songwriters will give the artist the authority to go do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
To get a cut.
And we've talked about that too.
And they do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, number one song. Yeah.
Unless it's essential to this song. You know, there's the classic story is Bob DePiro's Out of the Clear Blue Sky is what they changed the song Clear Blue Sky.
Clear Blue Sky instead of Blue Clear Sky.
It's Blue like Clear Sky. Blue Sky. We got this idea from the Forrest Gump movie. Yeah, that's how he said it. And, no, you can't change it. Like, oh, we get it now, you know. But, you know, generally, you guys, you know, make it your own. Absolutely. If you're going to change a thing here and there, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
So, they're your babies, I know. And it's hard sometimes, but you have to let them go, right? Live on their own.
It's all about that, and it's all about, you know, everything. You got to think about everything when you write a song. You know.
Yeah, I do.
Everything. It's all together. You know. Yeah. Everything works together.
I can see you have a passion for it. That's why I'm glad you're here.
You know, I mean, like I said, I find enjoyment sitting down and creating something like that. You know, especially when it turns out really good. You're like, wow, did I do this?
I know. Here's a project.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, and then when you have one of your peers like Karen or somebody listen to and they go, Bobby, wow. You know, how did you write that? You know, and I'm like, I have no idea. Yeah, then it came from somewhere, you know.
We have to get her on this show one of these days. Karen,
we
if you're listening.
We do, we do.
Your advice right here around this dining room table.
I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. She was posting something that was on Hallmark. Because she wrote Keeper of the Stars for Tracy Byrd.
I love that song.
And on the show, they had this one artist that he's singing a song, and it's Keeper of the Stars.
Oh.
And somebody reminded her, you need to watch this, you know, because they're singing this song. She's like, oh, my gosh. Ka-ching. Ka-ching.
I wanted to talk to you about something else, too, that was near to my heart, too. You do a lot of work with St. Jude's Children's Research, don't you?
I do.
I was fortunate enough to work in radio in Cincinnati with a station that sponsored that and did the radiothon and got to tour at St. Jude's, and it's really an amazing, life-changing place.
It really is. You know, when I started this, guys, this year will be our ninth
is it
year,
really?
Right, Jennifer? I think it is the ninth or tenth year.
Wow.
And, you know, I never thought that we'd even go this far, but it all started with the little boy that used to come out to my shows when I used to do Sam's Town Tunica at the casinos out there in Tunica, Mississippi. Yeah. And he used to come out to my shows, and he was always like, he would always wear this t-shirt, you know, say Bobby's number one fan. And he's sitting there, you know, trying to get people, come on, this is Bobby. He's up there singing, you know.
Well,
and
cool.
I fell in love with this kid. Well, I found out, you know, talking to his parents, he was a St. Jude kid.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to his mom, you know, I was finding out that, gosh, they had all these bills that they had to pay. They had all this stuff that I didn't really even realize that, you know, what was going on. And after that, I kind of had to take a look at myself going, what are you doing, you know, for other people? What's your passion, you know? And I kept thinking, you know, I had always, you know, loved St. Jude all the time. So I decided I'm like, I need to do something to give back. That's what I need to do. I need to give something to give back, you know, to the community. And I was thinking of PD and everything. So I said, you know, I talked to Jennifer about it, and Jennifer came up with a name. She came up with Country with Heart, which is
that's wonderful.
Fantastic name.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just started kind of putting it all together, and we ended up getting sponsors and trying to raise as much money as we could. And then I visited the facility like you did.
It's something.
I just fell apart when I saw the facility. I was just like, gosh, I got to do more.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it just became a passion over mine. I mean, a passion of mine. And we've been doing it ever since, trying to raise as much money as we could. And we have all the artists every year. Fantastic.
We have some great artists. Larry Gatlin.
Last year we had John Schneider
come out.
And spend his time. And
Johnny Rodriguez.
Yeah. And Bailey and the Boys. Rex Allen Jr.
Wow.
John Barry. I mean, the list just goes on.
Love John. He's been here on this podcast, sat right where you're sitting here.
You know, and the great thing about Nashville, it's like, you know, nobody asks to get paid. They're always just like, if it's for the kids, I'm there.
Exactly right.
And they show up. I mean, they show up and they're there. And however long we need them, they're there for the kids.
That's just awesome. And of course, St. Jude's doesn't charge the parents a cent.
No.
You're accepted into that program.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
What I love about him. And the whole Danny Thomas story just is absolutely amazing.
If you
don't know that story, look it up. I'll tell you briefly, he was broke, dead broke, couldn't bust into the entertainment business at all. And he took like his last quarter or buck, whatever, and he went to church and he prayed to St. Jude, who's the patron saint of lost causes. And he said, if you can help me, I will pay you back and I will build you a temple. And he got home after praying, and there was a message asking him to come and do an audition, and it changed his life. And of course, he built this amazing institution.
It wasn't Elvis Presley. Wasn't he a big supporter too? Gave a lot of money to St. Jude.
Yeah, well, being from Memphis, sure, yeah, just a great place. And those kids, like I say, they're just wonderful.
Oh, yeah. They're so precious. The kids
change your life,
and it'll change your life. It really
Absolutely.
Will. The kid used to come to all my shows. You know, we became friends over the years, and he'd come to all my shows, and he's always there all the time.
Yeah,
he passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
The cancer finally came back, and and he passed away and stuff. And so we, the next year we dedicated a show to him and had his parents there. And boy, I started crying, didn't I?
Oh man, I mean,
I broke down, you know, that night, you know, because I just kept thinking, you know, about him and everything. So I just told myself, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to do it in his honor every year and just keep That's this thing awesome. Going as long as we can and try to raise as much money as we can for the kids, because there's other kids out there that need our help. And
you got one of these coming up? I know we're publishing in March.
Yeah.
March
so,
the 16th.
Yeah. So we actually, we're actually in the works right now with the artists and everything else, mm-hmm. but we have June the 8th.
June the 8th.
And it's going to be at the Nightlife Dinner Theater where we have it the past, what, 3 years now?
Wow.
And it's a fantastic venue.
Where's that? Is it?
That's over there in Music City.
Music Valley.
Music Valley.
Music Valley. Okay. Music Valley. Sure. Okay.
Right behind where the Nashville Palace is at in that little area. Music City Bar and Grill.
Where that guy, Randy Travis.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's cool. Well, very good. All the best.
But I'll let everybody know, you know, as soon as we get tickets for
sale. Watch on the socials and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they can find you on the socials and you have your own webpage.
Absolutely.
Plug that real quick.
Yeah, they can go to www.BobbyMarquez.com. Mm-hmm. You can also go to facebook.com/BobbyMarquez Music.
Good.
And I'm on Twitter and some other ones, but I'm not sure. I don't kind of get on there too much. I get more on Facebook and everything. And
I think you got links on your on your webpage too to all those.
Yes.
But go to the webpage, you know.
And I do have a Country with Heart thing on Facebook too that some people go to, you know.
Very good. Very amazing.
I've been blessed.
Yes, you have. You know. Yeah, amazing guy, Jennifer and Bobby. It's great to have you. Before you go, though, I want to have you play one more song, and then we'll take it out. Can you do that and tell us a story behind it quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So you know, I was a big Ray Price fan.
Yeah,
huge Ray Price fan.
Me too.
And I had written this song because I had told myself I wanted to, write a shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, I didn't have any shuffles in my song. I would always sing other people's shuffles, Ray Price and Mel Tillis.
We're into the...
And everybody else's shuffles, you know, but I didn't have my own.
Well, we talk about the history, Jennifer, right? I mean, his song, Crazy Arms, really started that shuffle.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know, Ray's that just changed things.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah. Absolutely.
So you wanted to write a shuffle, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to write a shuffle, and I ended up writing it with a friend of mine named Steve Frame, who was a great songwriter. He lives up in Montana now. And we ended up writing this song, and a song called Honky Tonk.
All right. I listened to that this morning.
Go figure, right?
Great song. Yeah.
Honky tonk. Well, don't take me in and tear me up tonight. Well, don't leave me to my loneliness. Don't lead me on with lies. Well, don't you fill me full of hope. Then fool me in the end. Honky tonk. Don't you break my heart again.
Yeah.
You always have a bar stool for me to set my troubles down. Trouble always finds me looking for a light. Sometimes I've got to wonder if you really are my friend. Honky tonk. Don't you break my heart again. Here we go.
Love it, yeah.
Honky tonk. Well, don't take me in and tear me up tonight. Well, don't leave me to my loneliness. Don't leave me on with lies. Well, don't you fill me full of hope. Then fool me in the end. Honky tonk. Well, don't you break my heart. I always tell everybody, this is where the fiddle comes in. Oh, I gotta put that steel guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Twin fiddles.
Yeah, twin fiddles for sure.
Like a fool, watching her walk by, well, hoping she don't notice me through the corner of her eye. The beer's cold, the music's loud, and she's getting to my head. Honky tonk,
Well, don't you break my heart again. Here we go. Honky tonk. Well, don't take me in and tear me up tonight. Well, don't leave me to my loneliness. Don't leave me on with lies. Well, don't you fill me full of hope, then fool me in the end. Honky tonk. Well, don't you break my heart again. Well, honky tonk. Well, don't you break my heart again.
I love it. Great. Oh, you got the oh in there, too. That's awesome. And I love songs like that. You know, it's not the girl that's going to break your heart.
That's
right. Honky tonk, right?
That's, see, and that was the one thing. We had to twist it. Because everybody was writing that same kind of thing, but we're like, let's twist it a little
the
bit.
The twist is so important.
Yeah, it really is important. You know, we turned around to the honky tonk, you know?
Just a few weeks ago, we finished one with it, and it's going to a Texas artist right now. I'm okay. It's not me that misses you, that wants you back. It's these lonely shoes.
That's right.
And all the two-stepping that we did, you know? So I love it. Great song. Yeah. Very cool. Appreciate Bobby, thank you for joining us. You know where I live now.
Dave,
Jennifer,
I appreciate it.
You know, you're welcome anytime. So thank you so much.
Beautiful. Beautiful studio. I really enjoyed this.
This is great. This is fantastic.
Sometimes we have dinner around the table. We'll have to have you over sometime. Thank you both so much. Surely appreciate you. Thank you for joining us for the Songwriter Connection.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.